Hey everyone, how's it going? My guest today is a fourth-year pharmacy student at the University of Florida, and she will be discussing the ins and outs of applying for a PGY1 residency. So please give it up for my friend Jackie Kilsgar. How you doing?
It's good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So I just want to like kind of inform everyone like what a residency is and like why you'd want a residency. So could you just give us a little insight on that?
Yeah, so residency pretty much is just more knowledge. So it's pretty much extending your experience of learning in a environment that's a little safer and more of a teaching atmosphere. So if you really want to go into clinical, be in a hospital, do that kind of pharmacy life, residency is really going to help you get you there, and it's going to give you that year or two buffer to prepare you to actually become that clinical pharmacist.
Okay, and like, so why would you want to do that though? I mean, like, do you have to have one to get into a hospital, or like?
If you want to be a clinical pharmacist, you have to have it. There's also staff pharmacy, which is pretty much just verifying orders in the hospital, and you don't need a residency for that, but it's harder to get those, everything, and the hospital is pretty much going the route of having at least 1 year residency.
Okay, so when you say like staff pharmacist, so like, what do you mean by that as compared to like clinical?
Yeah, so staff and clinical just kind of means staff is only able to verify orders, check the medications that are made, whereas clinical is really the ones that's able to make the decisions on the patient care. They're the ones working with the physicians, rounding on the floor, being a part of the interdisciplinary team and doing a lot of the decision making.
Okay, that sounds actually kind of cool. Do you find that more interesting than like...
Yeah, I think it's more interesting and more rewarding, too. I think that it's a little boring, actually, if you're just doing staff pharmacy, sitting at a computer all day.
Fair enough.
So it's a little bit more of a challenge when you're actually doing more work with the patients and being able to see them and be involved more. So I think it's also kind of beneficial for you and the patient.
Okay. So, like, what are you expecting? Like, day one you get there, like, what kind of stuff do you think you have to do? Or have they given you, like, a list of things you have to do? Or?
Well, day one is orientation. So getting used to a new hospital system and just being in a new environment, getting to know the team, basic stuff. I think after the orientation period, it's going to be kind of thrown into the shark-infested tank and just have to start going at it and then kind of get that critique. You know, either you're doing things right or you're doing it wrong, and they're just going to help you mold into a pharmacist. I think when you first start off after becoming a pharmacist, you're going to be nervous at anything you do because
now you're
actually a pharmacist.
Verifying
things. Yeah, you're actually the ones hitting the button saying, yes, you can give that to the patient. So I think it's going to be tentative first steps, but so terrifying, but probably thrilling at the same time.
It is exciting. Yeah, like you said, you're expanding your knowledge, so it's kind of exciting little journey forward. What about pay? Like, is this like costing money? Do you have to take out more student loans to do this? Or are you like getting paid for this kind of thing? Or, like,
you get paid, but very minimum to what you're expecting as a pharmacist. So I can tell you specifically what I'm getting paid is $48,000 for both year one and year two. Some people get paid between $42,000 to $52,000.
But that's for both like 2 years, so you're getting
40. For one year.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Sometimes it'll go up. Like if you're doing a PGY2, it'll go up a couple thousand.
Wait, what's a PGY2?
So PGY2 is just specializing in a specific area. So for me, you always do a general PGY 1 year. That's kind of everything in the hospital. And then if you really want to go a different route, you do a PGY2. So you do a second year of residency at that lower pay grade. So I'm doing it in administration. Some people do it in oncology or critical care.
Okay, so you kind of specialize in what you're interested in.
Yeah, that's not required though.
Okay, and then like you said, PGY1 is just more like a
general,
just getting into the clinical.
Yeah, you kind of have a rotation. It's just like rotations. Your last year of pharmacy school, you have rotations in all different areas. You have either four weeks to 6 weeks, kind of the range of rotations, and it's, you know, you get a crit care one, you get internal medicine, you can choose to do electives if you want to do infectious disease or if you want to do emergency medicine. You get like med safety, you get some, you can get administration rotations.
Well, that sounds like pretty diverse, so something for everyone.
Yeah.
So you had like an ungodly number of residencies. How many did you have?
Yeah, so I interviewed at 9 places. I had 10, and I actually canceled one.
Wow, okay. What's your secret?
my secret at surviving them?
I'm getting that many. I mean, I always hear it's so hard to get interviews or get into the residency programs.
Yeah. So, you know, I applied to 10 and I thought that that was a good number. They recommend you apply to 7 to 10. And realistically, I was thinking you'd get about 50% of that. There are so many people applying. I don't think it's always likely that you get all of them. So I was not expecting to get all of them. So I think that that's kind of word to the wise, really keep an eye on that number. I have some friends that applied to like 16 and then they got 10 too. So they got kind of more of that closer to half thing.
Okay.
So it's really hard to decide on how many you're going to do. I shot for 10 and I applied to 10, but you want to make sure that you want to apply to those 10 because it costs money for every single one.
Oh, okay.
So after, yeah, it's like us, you pay a solid number for 4 and the application includes 4 and then you pay an additional one for every one you add on.
Wow. So you paid for an additional 6.
Yeah. So okay. Always apply, always have 4 you want to apply to because okay. That's included all in one. You can't, you know, just pay for 3. It's 4. And then really think about how many you want to apply to after that and how much money you want to spend. And then think if you get all of those, that's how many interviews you have to fit in within the like 6-week time period.
And I'm assuming those are not all in state, so you had to pay for like traveling.
Yes, I actually applied mainly to everything out of state. So that's also something to keep in mind. You can apply totally in state. The program I did specifically wasn't really in Florida, so I had to go out of state. But a lot of people did a lot in Florida, so that's a little easier. If you do them out of state, you can also try to do it at the same time. Like if you're going to North Carolina for 2, you could do it in the same week possibly. They're normally flexible if it's available. I actually had 2 in North Carolina, but I wasn't able to get them in the same week, so I went there twice. That's okay. It at least wasn't cold, so that's nice.
That's probably a good thing. So, like, can you just, for anyone that, like, wants to do a residency, can you just walk me through, like, the real basic steps? So, like, how do you begin applying for residency? When do you start thinking about it in your college career? Like,
yeah, I mean, really you want to start thinking about it as soon as you can. So, for right now, after first year, you guys do community. So, when I did community, I realized I did not like community. So, I knew I pretty much didn't want a community.
Fair enough. It's not for everyone.
Yeah, after second year, you do that introductory hospital, and that's where you kind of really know you want to do something. And if you realize it, then that's when you want to be thinking about it. But if you want to do it, if you know ahead, start doing it early, because you need that, like, you need all the things to buff up your CV, because that's how you're going to get these interviews. So you need leadership, you need to be involved on campus. If you're not involved on campus, involved in something else that you can put on your CV, because that's really how you're going to get any interviews. So you want to start planning ahead like that. It's really hard for people to decide on, there are people that do it on rotation, say, oh, I want to apply to residency now. It's very hard for them, and they don't get as many interviews because they don't have the stuff that they're looking for that all the other applicants have.
So they haven't already started like critiquing their CV. So,
yeah. Okay. And doing that CV early is important, because when you're on rotations and you have to start actually doing the application, it's a long process and you're already busy every day.
Yeah.
So really start early. And I said I was going to start early and I did not start early. It did not happen. But really try to get your CV like polished early on and like send it to a lot of people to have them all look at it and critique it. Because that's how you're going to get the interview. You're going to get the interview with your CV first, and then you're going to get the residency after you get an interview.
Okay. And so does this work like FarmCAS, where you have to sign up through like a separate entity and then they send it out for you, or like?
Yeah, pretty much. So you do it through FarmCAS. And you fill everything out, your demographic information, you upload your CV. Then you also actually have to upload individual pieces of your CV. So Ooh. You upload a PDF of your CV, but then you have to upload every service activity, every leadership position, and write them all in.
Okay.
Because some programs actually use that system to calculate a score for you without even looking at your CV. So you want to fill that out too, and that's time consuming. But if you already have it on your CV, it's not too hard to just type it all in.
Okay.
And then you have to send your transcripts to FarmCAS, and then they'll have it in there. And then you select all the places you want to apply to, and then it sends it out to all the places.
I got you. And then I'm assuming you just receive like an email back saying you're accepted or denied, or I mean.
Yeah. So steps? You'll receive emails from the programs, and there's no set time as to, like, you won't get all of them on the same day, and that's the most difficult part, because you'll just keep getting them. I actually got my first one, I think, 3 days after the deadline for all the applications. 3 days is actually soon, so don't freak out if you don't get one 3 days after. A lot of people, it took a week to get any back, and that's what you're kind of expecting. And then throughout January is when you'll start getting emails, and they'll invite you for an interview, and then they'll give you interview dates.
That sounds stressful.
It is very stressful, and waiting's the hardest part. That you're going to be waiting pretty much the whole first couple months of that last year if you want a residency, because it's just a waiting game the entire time.
Well, you got one, so that's exciting.
Yes.
So we're going to start wrapping up like the immediate release portion of this podcast. So do you have any just like general tips for somebody who wants to get accepted to their like residency program or applying or anything like that?
Yeah, so starting early is the biggest tip I can say. Getting your CV done, having people that you can ask questions to, become friends with the residents you're on rotations with, ask them their opinions, ask them to maybe send CVs of theirs to you so you can get an idea. Your preceptors can do it too, kind of give you that idea of what it should look like and how to format your own CV and get that ready for application time period.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for doing this portion of the podcast. If you guys want to hear more about her interviews and some other tips, just join us on the Extended Release podcast. Big thanks to our guest, Jackie, for covering the basics of pharmacy residencies. If you guys want to hear some more stories about her journey through residency interviews, check out the Extended Release version of this podcast. Thanks again to Sephiros for providing the music. This song is called Celestial, and you can find it at freestockmusic.com. And if you guys have any comments, questions, or you just want to hear something specific on this podcast, feel free to email me at capsuleproduction1@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook at Capsule Podcasts. Thanks again, guys.